in that reading, God's Spirit has led Jesus into the wilderness to face some challenges, some tests, before he begins his work of seeking and saving the lost. After 40 days in the wilderness, 40 days and 40 nights of not eating, Jesus is hungry. Now that's all we're told in verse 2 about how Jesus felt. But if that were me, I'd not just be hungry, I'd also be very, very grumpy and pretty desperate. Just get me out of here. Now, we're not in a physical wilderness this morning. We've had refreshments before the service, and we're with one another. We're not on our own. There's been an opportunity to have something to eat. But the reality is that sometimes our lives can feel like a wilderness. Living God's way in God's world can be tough, especially when the people around us are not doing that. We're surrounded by all sorts of things that have the potential to draw us away from God, all sorts of distractions and pressures. So to help us think a little bit more about the significance of our Bible reading, I thought I'd give you a little test this morning. Boo! You don't know what the test is. So you don't need any special knowledge for the test. All you need to do is simply to follow the instructions that I'm about to give you. Do you think you can do that? So if you don't want to take part, you don't have to join in. There's no pressure. But for those of you who are up for it, these are the instructions. They're very simple. When I say Becca says, you do whatever action I then say. So if I say Becca says, you do the action. If I don't say Becca says, you don't do the action. Okay, they're the instructions, easy. Okay, so very simple instructions. You don't need any special knowledge. So if you're up for joining in with my test this morning, let's give it a go. I think you can do everything sitting down. I think. So, Becca says, put your finger on your nose. Becca says, smile. Becca says, play air piano. Raise your right hand. Oh. Becca says, nod your head. Becca says, wave. Becca says, pretend to read a book. Turn to the person next to you and say hello. Ooh. Becca says, pat your knees. Becca says, fold your arms. Becca says, put your hand on your head. Pretend to talk on the phone. Becca says, point to a window. Point to a door. Becca says, wiggle your fingers. Becca says, close your eyes. Now this final one, if you can do this, you'll have made it to the end of my test this morning. So pat your head whilst rubbing your stomach. We're at the end. Thank you to all of you that joined in. I think you probably know where I'm about to go with this. So that was, I called it a test, but really it was just a silly game, a silly activity. So you know if you were caught out at any point in that. But it helps us to understand a serious point, which is just how easily we can succumb, we can give way to distractions and pressures. In that test, that game, we might have started to get a little bit tired. How long is this going to go on for? And just stopped listening quite so carefully. Or we might have had our mind temporarily on something else and then copied someone else instead of listening for ourselves. Or we might have been so focused on, yes, I can do this, I can get to the end, that actually we're concentrating more on winning. We were paying more attention to that than concentrating carefully on the words. Or you might just have forgotten the instructions. You get the idea. And yet, I'm confident that every single one of you that joined in did so intending to follow the instructions. You didn't set out to deliberately do the wrong thing. You were intending to follow their instructions. So in the wilderness, Jesus faced some tests. How many tests did he face? Three tests. So the first test, the devil tries to get Jesus to be self-dependent. Instead of depending on himself, to turn, instead of depending on God, depending on himself, to turn stones into bread. So that was the first test. In the second one, the devil tries to attempt to get Jesus to show off his power, to draw attention to his special power. Not for any reason that's going to benefit anyone else, but just as a display of his status. So the devil tells Jesus to throw himself from the highest point on the temple because the angels will catch him. You can do it, so just show us all who you are. So that was the second test. The third test, the devil tries to distract Jesus from fulfilling his purpose, seeking and saving the lost, by saying that he can be in charge of all the beautiful cities. All he has to do is worship Jesus. All Jesus has to do is worship the devil instead of God the Father. So he tries to distract him. I don't know about you, but put like that, these are all temptations I can relate to. When I'm experiencing testing or challenging times, I can try to be self-dependent instead of depending on God. Basically, every time I worry about something, that's what I'm doing. Yeah? It's often because things feel out of my control that I worry. And yet, what we're called to as Christians is to trust God with all things, to depend on God. I can want to prove myself, to show that I can do something, or that I'm good at something, or that I'm better than someone. I don't know if you ever feel that way. It's not bad to be good at things or successful, but as Christians, we're called to boast in God, who's made us, who's given us the gifts that we have, to honour him with those, not to show them off just for the sake of showing them off. We're called to become less, that he might become more. And finally, I can get distracted by things that promise but don't deliver, or that provide an easy way out. I don't know about you, but I don't like pain. And life has pain sometimes, difficult situations, difficult times. And it can be easy to look for an easy way out instead of going through whatever it is. It can be easy to compromise when we're in situations where living God's way in God's world feels hard. Perhaps where we feel marginalized for being a Christian. But when we do this, we make God a part of our lives rather than living our whole lives for God. It's like I was saying at the beginning about we're worshippers who gather together rather than gathering together to worship. And the reality, and this might be quite hard to hear actually, is that even good things can lead us away from God if they become the object of our worship. So it's not enough just to be a good person, because if we worship being seen as a good person rather than worshiping the God who equips us to be his image bearers, then we're worshiping the wrong thing. So even good things can lead us away from God when we make doing those good things, or being seen to be a good person, a moral person, whatever it might be, the object of our worship. Yes, we should want to be good. good people, but good people because we worship the God who equips us to live his way in his world. So how did Jesus respond to the devil when he was tested? Do you remember this action that we did? What was this for? Anyone? Word. So every time Jesus was tested, he quoted scripture. Every time the devil tried to tempt him, he spoke the word of God back to the devil. Man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So this can also give us a pointer on how to navigate tests and challenges and temptations, because we will all face them. They'll be different for each of us. But when we're tempted to sin, or when we're distracted or feeling under pressure, the best thing we can do is turn to God's word and speak truths from God's word to ourselves, into whatever situation it is we find ourselves in. So the Bible describes the devil as a liar. The father of lies is the phrase sometimes used. The devil can make us doubt ourselves, that we're good enough, and make us doubt God, that God is good enough or big enough or great enough. So the best thing we can do to combat the devil's lies is to speak God's truth to them. So back to the silly game we played where we were following the actions. I have to say, when I was looking, I did look on the internet for ideas of actions, and there were some really fun things, but I thought it could be quite dangerous getting you all to pretend to be rockets blasting off. But a bit back to that game when we were doing silly actions. I'm sure you all set out to follow the instructions. But as time went on, distractions and pressures came along. But if I'd given the instructions before I gave each command, so if I said, okay, you're listening for Becca says, and then I said my sentence, and then I said that again, you're more likely to have had that in the front of your minds. The same is true when it comes to God's word helping us to face temptations. The more we read God's word, the more that's in the front of our minds, and we can speak God's truth to ourselves and into whatever situation we face. So that's really, when you go home and wonder why we were playing Becca Says this morning, that's really what I'd like to invite us to remember, that the word of God is powerful, that we should listen to the word of God, and that we should use the word of God to keep us from getting distracted and succumbing to the pressures around us. So I'm going to invite Joyce to play now. Joyce has something lined up to just play in the background for us. And there's the invitation, you don't have to do this if you don't want to, but to come to the front and to collect a Bible verse. There are 8 different ones. They've got a heading which says what they're about. So this one says when you're in need. This one says when you're alone or fearful. So come to the front if you'd like to, whilst the music plays, and pick up a Bible verse to take home and put on your fridge, put in your pocket, wherever a good place is for you. So that when tests and challenges come along, you can remember the word of God. Thank you, Joyce.